On Radio Monterey.
And this is Solazar. We're now going live with Dr. Arnie Buss because since it's Thursday, it is time for Speaking of Listening. So we just heard with Israel Hurtado shared with us a couple of weeks ago. But Dr. Arnie Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. He's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. He's been teaching and facilitating interpersonal communication classes for the past 6 years. He facilitates individual and couples with their interpersonal communication issues and has given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations in the Monterey area. In addition, in 2011, he was a semifinalist in the Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking. Dr. Buss joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the first and third Thursdays of each month. Let's listen to Dr. Arnie Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Thank you, Solazar, and welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I'm your host for this segment, as Solazar said, Arnie Buss. Speaking of Listening is all about ways of improving your relationships by listening from your heart. And I will be giving workshops on effective communication and relationship building in the upcoming months. For further information, please email me at ahbuss, that's A-H-B-U-S-S, at consciousawareheart.com. That's ahbuss at consciousawareheart.com. Remember that listening is not just about hearing what the other person is saying. It's much more than that. It's about engaging the other person in a dialogue so that the communication goes much deeper than even the words themselves. One of my favorite quotes is from Ginger Rogers, who said that she had to do everything that Fred Astaire did, only she had to do it backwards and in high heels. And listening from the heart is kind of like that. In other words, what you're doing is you're allowing the other person to lead, and you're following backwards, as it were, but you don't have to wear high heels. So if you remember from the last time, I was talking about questions and how questions in a problem area can be entrapping, and how to ask a question without asking it as a question, and what to do when you hear a question that has a hidden agenda. The answer to all of those, of course, is to track them. But today, I'm going to talk about something that's the subject of one of my most popular workshops, and something which people are most interested in learning how to do, and that's how to effectively respond to criticism. Now, the remember that the only place of responsiveness comes from the aware heart, even when you're hearing criticism. And remember that all criticism comes from a place of hurt in the other person. And today I'm going to talk about how you can hear the pain, but don't take the blame. How you can validate their feelings without taking it on yourself. Now, unless you've been a hermit living in a cave somewhere, the chances are that you hear criticism from time to time. I know that you're all very wonderful, and it's hard to imagine that anybody might have a problem with that, but take my word for it that this happens. And oftentimes, it's the person that you care about the most, the person who's closest to you. So here are some things that you might hear. Again, I'm not saying that you have necessarily heard these, but trust me, these things are heard. Things like, you're such a slob. You never do what I ask you to do. You never listen to me. You should be sorry. You just don't understand. What a stupid idea. That'll never work. You always criticize me. You're always late. You never think of my needs. You don't make any sense. The list could go on and on. And if you've heard any of these things or heard anything similar, then the chances are that what we're going to talk about today could be of value to you. And if you've been hearing some criticisms that I haven't mentioned, then it might be helpful to just write them down and think about them. If you want, you can email them to me for suggestions on how to respond to them. So the first step in responding to criticism is to stay in your aware heart. And I've been talking about this quite a bit, but oftentimes it's hard to do that when we hear criticism. So do you react by taking it on, by absorbing the criticism? You know, thinking, you know, you're right, I'm a terrible person, or you're right, I'm a slob, or you're right, Now, keep in mind that this is coming from the child or the victim place, and that's not a place of a heart-centered communication. Sometimes you might react by counterattacking. You think, I'm bad, why don't you look in the mirror? Then you'll see someone who's bad. Or you think, I'm a slob, you're the slob. You think I criticize you, you're the one who's always criticizing me. This is the counterattack, and this is obviously coming from the judge or the parent. Both of these are reactive places that do not enhance the relationship. They don't help. Remember the aware heart. In the aware heart, you're okay, and the other person is okay. It doesn't matter if they're screaming. It doesn't matter what they're saying. They are okay. As long as you see them as being okay, then you can stay in your aware heart. As long as you see yourself as being okay, you can stay in your aware heart. In fact, the two are very much connected. If I can't see myself as okay, then I can't see you as okay. In other words, I can only see you as being as okay as I see myself. Or, to put it a little bit higher, I mean, I can only love you as much as I love myself. So this can be a major challenge is that if the criticism is one that stings, and often the people who are closest to us, especially in intimate relationships, they have this uncanny ability to get their fingers on all of our wounded buttons, on all our triggers. And the thing to realize is that if you hear something that stings like that, then that doesn't have anything to do with them. It has everything to do with your own sense of woundedness, your own wounded child. That doesn't make you bad. It doesn't mean that you have to go to that wounded place. You can start by just noticing, you know, oh, there it is. You don't have to get hooked by it. You don't have to engage it. So the next thing to remember is that all criticism comes from a place of hurt. And there are so many different wisdom traditions that have a different way of saying this. For example, in A Course in Miracles, they say a number of times that all attack is a call for help. In Don Miguel Ruiz's agreements, the second agreement is don't take anything personally. Don't take anything personally. And I assume that anything means anything. So that means that even if somebody's screaming at you, then you don't have to take it personally. There's a nice acronym that I've heard in various places, Q-tip, quit taking it personally. In other words, this is a recognition that if somebody is attacking you, then they're coming from a place of pain themselves. And if you react to that, then you're also coming from a place of pain. And then you have two people who are both in pain who are just kind of wailing away at each other. And that doesn't help at all. It's kind of like on an airplane, if you're traveling with someone else and the oxygen masks come down, they always say to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before trying to help the other person. The way that translates here is that if you're hearing criticism, then make yourself okay first before attempting to respond. Definitely don't react. Just take a breath. You don't have to say anything immediately. A saying that I like to say is, don't take the blame, track their pain. Don't take the blame, track their pain. Validate their feelings without making yourself a target. Remember that if they're upset like that, then it's actually an indication that they do care, as strange as that may seem. If they have a legitimate complaint, then you don't have to deny that. In other words, you can accept responsibility. I'm not suggesting that you don't take responsibility for something that you've done. Certainly, if you've done something, then accept responsibility for that. But keep in mind that there was never an intent to hurt the other person, and that if any pain that they experience is certainly not something which was intended. And if that is something that you intended, then maybe that's a subject for another time. But regardless, remember that don't take it personally and see the criticism, the attack, as a call for help. So I'm going to take some of these examples that I had before and talk about different ways of reacting or responding to them, just to try to illustrate this. So here's one. You're such a slob. I don't know about you, but I sometimes hear that. And if you saw my office, then you might say something quite similar. So we could react to this as a child by saying, oh, yeah, you're right, I'm so sorry, I try, but things just get messy. Or we can come from the parent. You know, you think I'm a slob, you know, you're the slob. So how can we track that? Again, what are the feelings? So you're finding things are messier than you're comfortable with, and you'd like to see things neater. In other words, when you hear criticism, there's an implied want there. There's something that they want that they're not getting. The other element is something called matching the energy. I know that in some people who teach communication talk about responding to criticism or responding to anger or high energy by saying, okay, respond calmly. If the other person is upset and yelling, you respond nice and calm. Now, I'm not sure why that's still being taught, but my experience, and your experience might be similar, is that that never works. And think of a time when you were upset with someone and they responded by being very calm. Did that tend to calm you down, or did it tend to get you more riled up? If you're like most people, certainly if you're like me, it would tend to get you a little more riled up, at least when I'm being unconscious. So now, why is that? I think it is because when a person responds calmly to high energy, it shows the other person isn't really getting it. They aren't getting you. I mean, you're upset about something, and they're sort of sitting there like a psychiatrist, just calmly analyzing you.
I think sometimes it almost feels patronizing.
Absolutely. It tends to feel very patronizing, in particular in that moment where you're all riled up and the other person is just sort of calm and, you know, it's like there's no connection. So how do you make that connection when there's that high energy present? Well, what you need to do is you need to raise your energy to almost match the other person. Now, that doesn't mean getting angry with them. It means being energetic enough so that instead of responding in a nice, calm, psychiatrist-like voice, you respond in a way which they can start to hear. In other words, raise your volume a little bit, not as loud as they are, certainly not louder than they are, because that can create a shouting match. You don't want to get into a shouting match. But if you raise your energy to just below theirs, then they will. It's almost like magic, and it's hard to. It's hard to illustrate this over the radio, but it's almost like mad. You can see the other person's energy decrease when you do this.
I've also found it to be served for me more of a recognition of what I was doing, because as the emotion goes up, you lose the consciousness of what you're projecting to the other person, and when they raise their volume, then it's almost like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a great point. Because remember earlier I was talking about how so much of the message we're trying to get across is nonverbal. The energy in a criticism, an angry criticism, is part of the message. You know, part of the message is this is really important to me and you got to get it. And if you're not getting it, if you're not getting it energetically, then we don't have that connection to make. So that's, and that's such a challenge, because our instincts are often to just sort of shrink and be quiet and just try to get away from what's happening. But instead, it's what I'm suggesting you do is, instead of trying to run away, trying to shrink away, you lean into the other person and try to get them. Thing is that this, if it wasn't important, then they wouldn't be so upset and they wouldn't have so much angst and energy. And you can help them and the relationship the most by validating that both with your words and with your energy. Oftentimes it helps to go right to the want, because implicit in what they're saying is what they want. So I say, you never listen to me. So you're not feeling heard. You want to have your thoughts be understood and accepted. Again, you say, well, you never listen. I do so listen to you. You never listen to me. Words like never and always are kind of key there. And you can get into a no-win argument about always and never, because always is never true. And never is always false. So you might say, a wife might say to a husband, you know, you never take me anywhere. He says, what do you mean I never take you anywhere? I took you somewhere last week. I took you to the hardware store. What do you mean? Well, always and never aren't to be taken literally. They're words of emphasis. They're reflecting the way things feel to that person. They, you know, if you say you never take me anywhere, what is she saying, or he? She's saying, you know, you want to spend more quality time together, and so you can just give that back, it is like a miracle. So you want to spend more quality time together, and you want me to take the initiative to plan events together. What could you say to that? What could she possibly say to that? It's like you've gotten it, you've gotten her, you've gotten the importance of it through the energy, and at the same time you're also recognizing that there's a concrete action that could be taken that will meet the want that they're trying to get at. That makes sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, here are just some others. You just don't understand. So there's something that you're feeling not heard about. That's a stupid idea. That'll never work. So maybe you have another idea that you feel would be better. Or you always criticize me. You know, so you want to have conversations where you're not feeling attacked. I mean, here's a good, you're always late. Okay, well, again, there's that always again, but what is it saying? It's saying that, you know, that you want to be assured that appointments will be kept on time. You never think of my needs. So you want to have your needs taken into account.
Yeah, first and foremost in all safe situations.
Yeah. Well, now the thing is that by validating their wants, you're not necessarily agreeing to a particular outcome, although many times that is the case. But what it does is it sets the stage for the next step, which is beyond the scope of this current segment, which is negotiating an agreement. And one of the things that I like from Dr. Phil, actually, is he talks about how all things in relationships are ultimately negotiations. And that was a bit of an eye-opener for me. And I think it's true. I think that there are many things in relationships that amount to negotiations. And when we hear criticism, it's because there's been a breakdown of agreements, or at least implicit agreements, going on. And so by tracking the criticism, you can move forward into a place where you can begin the negotiation without validating what the important needs and interests of each of the people are, then it's very difficult to negotiate because you're negotiating out of positions, which, again, is another topic. So the idea is that by first showing that you understand what the other person's needs are as they're expressing in the criticism, then that opens the door to a more effective negotiation. So, there's much, much more to this. If you want to really get this, then you'll have to come to one of my criticism workshops. This is a very rich topic, and this is something which is, I consider to be somewhat of an advanced one as far as tracking goes. I tend to not work with people until they've gotten the basics of tracking in less energetic situations down. But it's one of the most valuable parts of learning to be an effective listener. So today I've talked about responding to criticism and remembering that the place of responsiveness is from the aware heart, to not take things personally, remembering that all criticism is coming from a place of hurt, and that when you validate the other person, then you can move forward into an effective resolution. So you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani. I'm your host, Arnie Buss. Thank you for joining me.
And I've actually got a couple of questions for you, if you don't mind.
Please.
So I've been having, for a variety of reasons, a series of emotional weeks. And Kira mentioned to me, and I think she's true, I think this is really true, I agree to it, that sometimes when I get on a roll, I become a verbal bully, you know, verbal, that I'm just boom, 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 you know, my emotion, it could be anger, it could just be emotion, just keeps rolling out, and the other person is suffused in this in this field of emotional outpouring that's overwhelming.
Sure.
So somebody at the receiving end of me, because I don't know that it's ever happened to me, but at the receiving end of me, what would be a good first step for someone who's actually, they feel they're at the result of an emotional bully who's essentially, I'm not giving them a chance to say anything. I'm emotionally charring them with the intensity of what I'm saying. I'm not necessarily saying nasty things,
sure,
but it's just the whole experience is very overwhelming.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, obviously, a lot depends on the particulars of the situation. So what you're describing is a high energy situation. So one person is just maybe ranting a little bit or expressing a lot of high energy.
Well, consider
emotions.
That when I'm talking about me, yeah, I'm triggered. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm mad, but I'm triggered.
Right, yeah.
So I'm reacting from that wounding place in me. I'm coming out with this high emotion. Mm-hmm. And this other person is the innocent recipient because they said red when I thought it should have been green or whatever else. You know, it doesn't take much. How should they respond? Like you said, don't take it personally. Hard not to do. But how should they respond? Should they acquiesce, be quiet? Should they? I mean, what do you think is the best thing for them so they don't feel that they walked away sacrificing themselves?
Yeah. What I would recommend is, in a case like that, what you're describing is one thing after another, you know, after another, with barely a space to breathe. So in a situation like that, I think what the other person needs to do is they need to jump in. They don't need to follow their instinct, which is to shrink away, because in the face of that energy, many people tend to shrink away. So because the effectiveness comes in when you're responding. And yet, what do you do if you don't have a chance to respond? The other person, well, at some point, at some point, you're going to have to stop and breathe. And when you take that breath is the time for them to jump in and validate at least the last thing that you said. That's often.
So in one sense, treat it like in NLP, they talk about the pattern interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Treat it like a pattern interrupt by jumping in, Validate yeah. something they said. Don't, in other words, don't initiate another issue right. that could now become the next yeah. onslaught. Validate the last thing said.
Exactly.
I mean, is something as simple as saying, I hear you, sufficient, or do you mean
no.
more? Okay, gotcha. I'm asking.
Yeah. Or at least, see, in energetic situations like that, you know, I hear you or I understand, usually the first thing that comes to the other person is, you don't hear anything.
Exactly.
You don't understand.
Exactly.
so it's really important to be attentive to what they're expressing and try to get underneath that message. And again, it's a specific example is always a little bit better, but validate it. Don't use the word I. Avoid the word I under any circumstance. Yeah. Why? Because I kind of paints a target right on your face.
Okay.
And it's saying things like, I understand. When the other person's upset, you don't understand a thing. You don't understand. But show them that you understand by validating what they're saying.
And as you've said in the previous segments too, you could say, you're upset.
When somebody's upset, I would still avoid saying
the
that.
Use. That's right. You say avoid
yeah,
the
yeah,
use.
Avoid.
This
avoid
upsets
that.
You.
I would still avoid that. I would. You know why? Because I am not upset.
That's what you. But so validate the last. Try to jump in. Validate something that was said, even if it wasn't the last thing. Validate something said.
So
it shows that
red,
you're listening.
If the other person said red, you would say, what did he say? No. So you want to be assured that it's always going to be blue, and that's going to be the answer.
Yeah. Yeah,
something
okay.
like that, you know.
Well, thanks for sharing that, because that brings it practically down to a different area. This is Dr. Arne Buss, speaking of listening right here on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Carolani, first and third Thursdays of every month. And this is certainly the first, and we appreciate him taking the time to spend with us today and share all of that information. So we'll be back in the second hour with Reverend Charlotte Tinker and Healing the World One Heart at a Time.